Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious and the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. We warmly invite you to enjoy with us the study that we're having on the life of Abraham, that wonderful patriarch of old, who has been called in the Word of God, the father of the faithful. We are tracing his pilgrimage as he lived upon the earth and walked that wonderful path of faith, which we have been called to do the same, we who know the Lord Jesus today. Paul well declared in 2 Corinthians 5, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." 'Tis a wonderful thing to find your feet and your soul walking the path of faith with God. My radio listener, have you found the Lord? Have you begun that path of faith? For without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:7. We invite our listening friends who know not the Lord to be concerned regarding your salvation and your soul and your present path that you may be treading. God grant that you will find the Savior, trust him as your own, and begin the walk of faith. In Abraham's life, we've already noticed from chapter 12 of the book of Genesis, we have noticed the call of faith together with his response, rejoicing in the response that Abraham made. And we have noted the covenant of faith which God made with him. We noted also some of the hindrances that were in his way, as we recognize that there were hindrances in regard to Lot and his relatives who thus hindered him on that path. But nevertheless, such compromises God enabled him to overcome. Then we also found his confession of faith in relation to the mountain where he dwelt and the tent in which he lived and the altar which he built, calling upon the name of the Lord. Oh, what a joy to realize. It was his joy to know the Lord. My radio friend, is it yours? So we had, in these opening 9 verses of Genesis 12, we had the call of faith and its response by Abraham. We begin today in chapter 12 at verse 10, and begin considering, down to the end of the chapter, Abraham once more, but the relapse of faith. Now in verse 10 we read these words, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." How often we find, though when we first begin the path of faith we realize not that this is usually the experience, how often we find disappointment. Oh, my beloved fellow believer, have you ever come to the place when you walk the path of faith of seeming disappointment? And in the case of Abraham, there was a disappointment. There was a famine in the land. Now, beloved, if God permits a famine to come, it can be and it will be for the purpose of testing his child, whether that child of his will trust him, even though disappointed. The whole thing is this. Abraham undoubtedly must have been trusting in the land. The land proved to provide for him the food which he needed. But may I raise the question? Was God able to provide for him though he was in a land of famine? That was the test. And many times, and quite usually, the child of God that begins the walk of faith with the Savior and with the Father above may be led to the disappointments that exist while in the land, walking through it by faith. Disappointments? Now here is the test. Are we trusting the world to provide our needs? Or are we trusting the Lord? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. It's the word of God in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And Abraham, we know, unfortunately manifested what we can call the relapse of faith. And in so doing, it took his feet in the wrong direction. He went down into Egypt. Now may I point out, very obviously from the context of the chapter that follows, he forsook his tent and his altar, as it were, for Egypt. My beloved, is not this often the case in many incidents of Christian experience, or the experiences of a Christian, one should say, that there are believers, when tested and permitted to be tested by the Lord, instead of trusting Him for all, they go down into Egypt. Now may I plainly state, wherever you read of Egypt in the Word of God, and particularly in the Old Testament, where much regarding the land of Egypt is revealed, Egypt is a type of the world. This world in which you and I live, you can find no better type representing the world than Egypt as you read the Word of God. And thus we read, Abraham went down into Egypt. May I point out something? To go to Egypt, he had to go down. He was dwelling on a mountain. But when he had this relapse, he traveled downward to Egypt. Can I plead with any of my fellow believers who are tempted to follow the path of the world? That way leads down, and you will find also, if you please, you will find it can lead you to even practice deception. For may I read verses 11 through 13? I want you to note the deception that Abraham began to manifest. Here are the words. There was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife. They will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Beloved, let us note two things in this deception of Abraham. First of all, as we have noted in the preceding 10th verse, first he trusted in Egypt. My fellow believer, again let me repeat, are you and I trusting in the Lord? Or are we trusting in this world for all that we need? Said the very middle verse, the center verse of the Bible that the psalmist wrote in Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. My fellow believer, let me warn you, what a tragic spiritual mistake it is to thus trust in this world rather than in the Lord. And then also the second thing we find, he practices deception. He doesn't even trust God for his wife's protection. Now this is certainly sad to realize that one who belonged to God could not trust his wife into the care of God. And furthermore, he seems to have been concerned about his own protection, even in a greater way than the protection of his wife. We know from the context of other chapters in the book of Genesis, Sarah was a beautiful woman without doubt. And we know from what follows, as we shall see, God willing, in the next message, that the people in Egypt, the princes, and even Pharaoh, had called to their attention the beauty and comeliness of the wife of Abraham, Sarah. But they were half sister and brother, which you may read as Abraham later on practiced the same deception, as recorded in chapter 16. But this is the unfortunate thing. To turn down and go back into Egypt, unfortunately, was the wrong direction that brought a sinful practice. My fellow believer, let me quote the words of John, 1 John chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. My fellow believer, let you and I realize, it doesn't pay to have a relapse in faith. May God help you and me to take a lesson from even our father Abraham, as we shall see not only his tragic deception, but we shall also see in the ensuing message God's disciplinary action to restore his child again. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, give thy blessing, prosper the word to the edification of the saints. In Jesus' name, amen.